Campus FM presents a talk in the Work in Progress seminar series entitled The Approaches to Ethics and Business Management in an Increasingly Global Economic Order. This talk is delivered by Mr. Giuseppe Rubiati.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, radio audience. Welcome back to the Work in Progress seminar series. Tonight we welcome Mr. Giuseppe Rubiati, who is an economist, an executive, and a member of the Baha'i Faith. And he will be speaking to us tonight about the approaches in the Baha'i Faith to ethics in management, in business management, and ethics in an increasingly global economic order. What does the Baha'i Faith have to tell us about this? Some time ago, in February, we had a seminar addressed by Dr. Iftikhar Ayaz. He was speaking on behalf of the Ahmadiyya sect inside Islam. And he carefully outlined what he took to be classical Islamic approaches to supposedly Western ideas of liberty and human justice. And that seminar sparked a great deal of interest. Members of the Baha'i Faith attended that seminar and asked me afterwards whether we would like in the seminar to have a Baha'i presentation. And I said yes, because these seminars have basically three main purposes. The first has always been to act as a forum in which academics and students can present new research for informal and friendly feedback. The second is, in fact, to be a site for the discussion of major ideas which are becoming known and becoming popular. But there is a third purpose which we've always had, and that is the seminar, the Work in Progress seminar series, acts as a kind of interface between the community and the university. And it's very much in the spirit of trying to develop the interface between the university and the community that we welcome Mr. Rubiati tonight. Giuseppe.
So thank you so much for spending an hour with us in this beautiful afternoon in Malta. I'm very happy. I'm living in Italy. I'm coming from Milan, northern part of Italy. And I want to tell you a few things before I enter the subject for those who do not know what is the Baha'i Faith. The Baha'i Faith, which is written as B-A-H-A-I, was founded by Baha'u'llah, who is the founder. Baha'u'llah is a title. The title which means the glory of God. Baha'u'llah was living in the middle of the, from 1817 to 1892. And three are the main principles of the Baha'i Faith. The first one is that God is only one. So we have called God with different names in the past. We prayed him in a different way, but it's always the same one. And just to make an example, Baha'u'llah says that if we compare, as an example, God with sun is always the same from any place of the planet you are watching him or you are taking his heat. If God is only one, all the religions are coming from the same God. So there is not the definition that one of the religion is better on any other religion, but all the religions are coming from the same sun. So if this is God as a sun, the religions are like the rays of the same sun. But the ray that the religions have come in different times during the life of man, and they appear in different places of the planet due to the fact that the planet was not united as it is today. And the third one is that all the races, all the men of this planet are one. So humanity is only one, divided only by by secondary differences like the color of the skin or the way the people were born. So the purpose of the faith of Baha'u'llah is to bring unification, to bring unity to the planet where we live. So because unity is the purpose of the Baha'i Faith, Baha'u'llah is is bringing so many ideas and principles about how to unite the planet under these three main principles, and what we would call in the Baha'i Faith in the New World Order. So the order that will bring humanity in one unity. So generally speaking, by the economic point of view, when we think about evolution of mankind, we generally think that evolution was like a parable. We were here, and now we are here. And the parable generally we think was really soft evolution. We were thousands and thousands of years ago in a certain situation. Now, after a while, we became a new society in a smoothly way. In reality, this is a wrong idea, because evolution of mankind in the taking care of the is a process. And the process started many years ago and came on like a stair, like a step, with many steps. At the beginning, we were individuals. Then we became groups, families, community. Then we became tribe. The tribe became villages. The villages became city. The time of the city were the city, dependent city, independent city, city-state. Remember, the Roman Empire was organized as a city-state. Then the city-state becomes empire. And it's in around the 1700, we became nations. The time of the nation was divided in about 3-4 different steps. Dependent nations, independent nations, sovereign nation. Sovereign nation is the idea that the people in a country which is sovereign are able to elect its own government in a democratic way. So if we say that we have about 200 nations on the planet, today, which is 2011, 85% of these 200 nations are sovereign nations, because 15% are still dependent on dictatorship or some other form of politics. For example, China, Cuba, North Korea, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, like Libya, Saudi Arabia, this area of the Mediterranean, still. This cannot be considered as a sovereign nation, because the people in these countries are not able to elect their own government. So this is what we generally consider the evolution of mankind. But what is very important is to understand why. What happened in this exact moment? Why a population who was living with a certain style of life was obliged to jump to another level of organization, or was pushed up by problems to become and to reach another level of evolution? And this is very important to understand, because if you understand what happened in the past in this transition time, we will be able to understand what we will be in the future from the national point of view. So we have to study, do you follow me? We have to study what happened in the past, because generally what happened in the past gives us the key to understand what will happen in the future. So if we enlarge like a land, one of these transition, let's say from the tribe to the village. So there is a link between evolution, economy, and a new world, which is resource. These three are the causes of the evolution of mankind by the economic point of view. And there is a law connecting the three, which is very important to understand, and this is related to this main world. Resources are the main goods without which the mankind cannot live. So the law says that in any society, which can be tribe, can be village, can be nation, in any society where we have enough resources, which is abundance of resources, and the resources are available to be used, we don't have evolution. So in any society where we have resources, and the resources are are available for everybody, we don't have evolution. So the society keep the same level of evolution without moving up, and the scope of life is the dissipation of the available resources. So they live using their available resources. At a certain moment, due to the fact that the increasing of population of the level, something is happening with the available resources. So in a moment that the number of individuals in that level are growing up, in a certain moment the society enter in a period of lack of resources. And in this moment the society divides in two groups, A and B. The first group, A, is understanding that something is happening to the available resources, and the group B do not understand anything, and they continue to use and dissipating the available resources. After a while, group A understand that they have to do something with the resources because there is a problem of living, so they try to hiding the available resources. And group B continue to dissipating the available resources. And later on, group A start to organize a military force to protect the available resources because group B starts to understand that something is happening to the available resources. So at a certain moment, when B has understood that A have hided the available resources, a sort of civil war starts between the two. B groups attacks A group, and the society has two ways. Or they destroy all the individual of the level or they find a new way to find new resources. Let's make an example with tribe and village. Which is the important resources for living at the time of the tribe? This is hunting. So all the society of the tribe is organized with these available resources. Animals, how to hunt in animals, how to protect that, how to use the skin of the animal and so on. So the whole tribe is organized on the hunting, which is the most important resource. So the tribe is a nomad population. So they move, they put their tents in a place, and they fix an area, and they start hunting. At the same moment, they understand that there are more animals because they ate everybody, so they dismantle the tents, they go in another area, they fix another area, they start hunting again. But at a certain moment, they find another tribe, which is using the same area. And of course, because the available resources are not infinite, at a certain moment they understand that something is happening to the available resources. So the tribe B attacks group A. So a sort of vibration is starting at the level. A vibration means a civil war. And all the values of the tribe society, all the institutions of the tribe society, all the education in the tribe society is not able to face the problem, and at a certain moment, due to the civil war, they have two solutions. The first one, that they kill each other until the last individual, and the process starts again since the beginning, or they jump to a new level of society looking for another new resources. Exactly in the moment of the tribe in the village, they discover agriculture. With agriculture, they had to change the whole organization of society. There were no more nomads. The tents became houses. The guns became agriculture tools. They had to do with the season. They had to do to organize the whole society in a different way. And you know that the economic level of this level with the agriculture, and later on, the nature left for a while, gave some other animals, so they start hunting again. This society has an economic level much higher than the previous levels. So living in a village, they had to change the whole organization of society, and this was a richer society than the society from where this group was coming from. Is it clear? So now, what is going to happen? What is going to happen at the level of nation? Because we reached the level of nation in the 1700s. So you have to remember here, from where we were coming from. And we put the vibrations here. Any time a society has jumped from one level to another was due to the fact that the resources, the economic society and evolution were connected together due to the fact that the jump was provided by the vibration of the society. So let us examine the time where we are living, the time of the nation. So we are here, we are here, we are here. Where are we? We have to examine the situation of the nation with these three main subjects. Do we live in a society where we have enough resources and the resources are available for everybody, or we are living in a society where there is a lack of resources or the resources are bad distributed? Because this is the main question. If we will be able to answer such a question, we will know exactly where we are in the level of nation. So let us examine on the first side of the law. Do we live in a period where we have enough available resources for everybody, or we are living in a period where there is a lack of resources? So let us examine which are the resources. We have five main resources which are provoking vibrations on the whole society and everywhere on the planet. The first resources on which we are we have to work on is environment. You know, this is an important resource because we are living in an ecosystem. If we destroy the ecosystem, which is a resource for living, we will destroy the mankind. So this is means, for example, oxygen. This is means, for example, water, agricultural land. This is environment. So how much environment do we have today? Is it enough for everybody, or we have difficulties with that? This is depending on the way we approach the problem. For example, environment is in a big difficulties in these days. Let us remember, for example, Chernobyl or the Japan problem we had a few weeks ago, or the problem that 40% of oxygen of the planet is coming from the Amazon forest. So we breathe the oxygen which is coming from the Amazon forest. We cut the Amazon trees. What are we going to do with this resource? So the available resource is available resource, but it's not infinite. It's not infinite. So we have to take care about that, because this could create a strong vibration about the nation, and the people is protesting because we are consuming these important resources, not for the benefit of mankind, but only for the benefit of few people. Then we have the second resources that is very important today for living. This is job. So at the time of the tribe, the main resources for surviving was hunting. But today we cannot survive with hunting. I'm living in Milan. If I should eat what I hunt, it would be a very difficult problem. We have only Chinese in Milan to be hunted. There is nothing else. So this is a big important resource. But we have to analyze it in a scientific way. How much of this resource we have? Do we have this resource, employment, for everybody, a disposal for everybody, or we have only part of the people of this planet that can use these resources? There's an important office in the United Nations, ILO, International Labour Organization, which says that 40% of the population of this planet has no job. 40% have not the resources for surviving. So what do? They leave their country, and they go to the countries where they think that they will find a job. This is one of the reasons why a great part of this mankind is leaving their countries to come to the richest countries to find the available resources. And what do they create? They create a big vibration. I'm living in Italy. You know what is happening in these last 3 months with the Mediterranean problem. We have thousands and thousands of people coming from the northern part of Africa to find unavailable resources. And so those who were living in Germany or were living in other countries in Europe or in America, they know how much is the immigration from South America, from Eastern countries, from far, far east or from Africa. And this is one of the most important vibration we have today. And nobody knows how to solve it. Then we have the third vibration which is coming. This is what you call it health organization. Because this is an important resource. Because, you know, you can live in a polluted country or you can live without a job, but if someone is not well, who is taking care of him? Do we have enough resources to take care of the population of this mankind? The World Health Organization is telling us that among 200 countries of this planet, only 40 countries have a health organization, only 40. And United States of America is not in the 40. Now with Barack Obama, something has been solved, but just as a small part of it. So what is going to happen that these two are working together, are creating a big vibration, because the people moving from one country to another, they are not organized to have a health organization to be that could take care of him. And this is create a very strong vibration. Because you know, you can live in a polluted country without a job. But if your partner, if your mother, if your son is in a difficult condition and nobody takes care of him, you become a killer. Because, of course, someone cannot take care of of the one who you love. Then we have the fourth vibration. So this is the dimension of vibration is like this. This is as the minimum, then we increase it. Then this is becomes higher. And the fourth one is very strong, and this is women. Generally, women provoke vibration in any case. But this is not the type of vibration these men have in mind. It's not that. This is another type of vibration. The vibration is due to the fact that we have to consider the women as the resources. How much do we have of these resources on the planet? We have 55%. 55% of the population of this planet are women. And why do they provoke vibrations? Because they are not used for the purpose of evolution. Because there is not any kind of equal opportunity to contribute to the well-being of this mankind. And we generally think, when I generally say that the women have not reached the equal opportunity, we generally think about the wives of the Talibanis. But I'm an European, I'm living in Italy, I'm a CEO of a big company in Milan. And generally, the women have problems in companies, have problems in families. They generally have no equal opportunities even in the family. For example, in many countries of Europe, if you have difficulties in the family, economic difficulties, and you have a son and a girl, who goes to the university? The son. Generally speaking, this is generally a decision that in any family in Europe is taken. So what about the cost of a woman in a company? The women are costing more than a man. Because of course, when they are pregnant, they stay home for 4 months before, 3 months later, depending on the countries, and for 2 years, for example, in Italy, you have to give 2 hours a day for feeding the baby. So the cost of a woman in a company is higher than a man. So this is provoke a sort of injustice inside. One of the problems that in women are not able to go faster in their career is due to the fact that they have another purpose in their lives, which is to give babies. Otherwise, society will come to an end. But this is used as a resource in an unjust way. So this is the way that the women are protesting. There are so many stories I could tell you, but we don't have time. So they are provoking a strong vibration in every part of this planet, especially in those parts of the planet where the injustice is so high, like in the Arab countries or in the African countries. I was living for 20 years in Africa. I know exactly what is the level of evolution of women in Africa or South America, and really there is a strong injustice about the contribution that the women can give to the evolution of mankind. Then we have the last vibration, which is so high, and this is economy. And you are not an economist, so I want to give you, I made just a 5 minutes break about that, because I want to tell you exactly what happened, why economy is the biggest vibration we have today on the planet, and this is not working for the evolution of mankind. We have to go back to 1945. 1945 was the end of the Second World War. 7 nations of this planet were involved in the Second World War: Italy, France, Germany, Japan, U.S., and France. What happened in 1945? The country, these 7 countries, were destroyed by the Second World War, decided to call for a conference. The conference was called, with the name of Bretton Woods Conference. What is a Bretton Woods Conference? A Bretton Woods Conference, the 7 countries, the people who were managing the country, so ministers, the chief of the states, they came together for about 6 months in the middle of 1945, and they decided to rebuild the 7 countries that had been destroyed by the Second World War. And in the Bretton Woods Conference were born 3 main institutions. These are the 3 main institutions that today, nowadays, are managing the whole world economy. So the first was the World Bank. The second institution that was born was the International Monetary Fund. And the third one was the WTO, World Trade Organization. These 3 were born in 1945. The 7 nations have given the instruments to these 3, have given the legal status in order that could function in their purposes, and the 7 countries have given the money to the purpose of rebuild the 7 countries destroyed by the war. From 1945, these 3 main institutions have done a great job, because from the 7 countries destroyed by the war, at the end, the G7 was born. So the seed of the G7 was put in 1945, and these 3 main institutions have done a great job. Now I want to tell you exactly what happened, why the process has brought this problem to the number 5. This is the world economy is today is a disaster. Let's make an example. So let's put here World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and WTO. And we put here Italy, and we put here Bangladesh. Why? Because from 1945 to 2011, the 7 became the G7. No, sorry, here, in 2011, the G7. What about the 200 countries, or the rest of the countries reaching 200. What happened to them? They became the poorest country on this planet. So during the process that the 7 were becoming the most powerful countries on the world, the rest of the countries became the poorest. How was the reason about that? What happened? And this is very easy. I will make you an example. So Italy and Bangladesh, one of the G7 and one of the rest of the countries. So Italy is asking $1 billion to these 3 main institutions. From the International Monetary Fund, this is the procedure, a delegation goes to Italy asking, what do you want to do with $1 billion? And the answer is, we want to build dams, we want to build roads, universities, water aqueduct, and everything to rebuild Italy. So the money is guaranteed with 3 main clauses. First, in how many years you will give back the money? Because this is a loan, 30 years. How much is the annual interest on the money? 2% per year. And because Italy had Italian liras in those days, which is the rate of exchange between the dollar and the Italian lira. In this case, it was 625 liras per dollar. The money are granted. In 30 years, They have done a great job, and Italy is one of the G7. So everybody who is living in Italy is, I mean, part of a powerful country. Now, go back to Bangladesh. Bangladesh is asking $1 billion. So an IMF delegation go to Bangladesh asking the same question of Italy. They want to build dams, roads, and everything. So, and they say, we have three main conditions coming from the Bretton Woods conference. First, in how many years you will give back the money? 30 years. Second, how much is the annual interest on this loan? 5.5%. How much is the rate of exchange between the rupiah, which is the money of Bangladesh, and the dollar? There is no link between the dollar and the rupiah. So the three are deciding to give dollars and to have back dollars. But what happened? That on the first year, there was an devaluation of the rupiah with the dollar. And the end, it was about 10% per month. So what happened? That in 30 years, you can make a calculation. So 10% per month is 120% per year, is 3,600 times in the 30 years. So they had to go back $30,000 billion to the three main institutions. But the real valuation that the rupiah, the economy of Bangladesh was not capable to keep the value with the dollar. In 1971, the President Nixon has decided that the world trading was not due with the gold value, but with the dollar. So those countries who had not agreement with the dollars fell down. So the problem is that with the Bangladesh, we had 193 countries. So billions of money came out from this main institution, and they can never come back to the three main institutions. This is called the debts of the poor countries. So sometimes you hear this on the television, the debts of the poor countries. This should be deleted because it was done to a way that was really a cancer. So this has created a big crash in the world economy and has created this way that only seven countries on the planet are managing the world economy. And this is the biggest disaster we have today because all the decisions are taken by the seven, and all the decisions taken by the seven is only for the benefit of the seven, they're not taking care of the rest. In these days, starting from a couple of years ago, they started to increase the number of the countries, the G7, they call it, for example, G20, including, for example, Brazil, including India, including, for example, Ghana, including China, including South Africa. But still today, the G7 called the G8 because Russia entered in, but Russia has not the right of veto inside the G7. So there is a veto in the G7. If the G7 do not agree, so the number 8 with Russia cannot do anything. So the whole world economy is now organized in this way. But this is just to give you an idea how the things are going on about economy, and just to tell you that we are now at the process, as I was telling you before, at the level of nation. So with these five main resources, I'm trying to show you that we are starting a vibration, a strong vibration. So we have two solutions now. The first one is to fall down and to destroy this mankind, or we have to jump to a new level of maturity, which is unity of mankind. Why? Because we cannot approach each one of these five main vibrations. We cannot approach environment, employment, health problems, women and economy with 200 different approaches. Environment is only one. The planet has become a common house. The people, we consider the people, the people of this country. Health organization, women, economy. We cannot approach each one of them in 200 different ways. So we have to jump to a new level of consciousness, which is the unity of mankind. But as we did it before, with the level we have seen before, when we were jumping, we were looking for new resources. So which is the new resource that we have to find and to follow, to look for, to jump from the national level to the unity of mankind? For the first time, on this planet, this is not an economic resource. And this is why I'm taking out now from the subject the Baha'i faith. So Baha'u'llah, in the middle of the 18th century, between 1844 and 1892, he said that the order of the nation has come to an end because it's not capable to solve worldwide problem, and we have to enter in the period of maturity of mankind, taking care that the only solution is unity of mankind. And he says that the resource we will need is not an economic resource, but is knowledge. So knowledge is the new resource we have to take out, we have to take with us to jump from this level to another. What does it mean, knowledge? That we cannot have unity of mankind if we don't have the world, a world citizen. So the people of this planet should become world citizen. How do we become world citizen? How the people of this planet that for 1,000 years have been divided by races, by countries, by difficulties in getting in touch with other, how do we become world citizen? Baha'u'llah says in his writings that we have to understand three main declarations. To become a worldwide citizen, we have to accept three main ideas. There is a banner in the writings of Baha'u'llah where he says, the earth is but one, and mankind is citizen. So this is a political declaration, what is a world citizen. And he says that to jump from the national level to the unity of mankind level, we have to research on a personal basis and to jump to the level of national citizen, to the level of the international or worldwide citizen, we need three main declarations. And these three main declarations have to be done by individuals one by one. First one, God is one. What does it mean? This is very important because, you know, we generally think that our God is better than the God of the others. So when we say Allah, when we say Jehovah, when we say God, when we say, I mean, this is our walls, concrete walls, dividing the people of this planet and imposing a situation that the people cannot be worldwide citizens. So if we think that God is only one, of course we will understand that all the religions coming from the same God, in reality is one. So there is no difference between religions. It's like a process in a school, from the elementary to the secondary school to the high school to the university. Each professor is part of the process, and we not deny the professor of the previous courses or the professor or the other courses. And the third one, that mankind is one. What does it mean, mankind? We have only one human species. We don't have two human species. We have only one. Baha'u'llah says that the people of the planet are like the flowers of a garden. That we don't have garden with only white flowers. But the garden is, the beauty of the gardens is ameliorated with different colors, with different perfumes, with the different way of living. So a citizen of the world is someone that accept by himself these three main conditions. Why? Because the earth is but one country. So this is quite clear today, that the earth is but one country. But it's not clear that mankind is citizen. We generally, when we speak about citizenship, this is a political issue. Just to make an example, citizenship is a national citizenship today. We don't have in mind a worldwide citizenship. I make an example. I'm an Italian. Only because my passport is Italian, I'm an Italian citizen, I have some items granted. Only because I'm an Italian citizen. For example, health organization is granted to myself. It's granted that I can go to school at no cost, free of charge, because this is paid by the government. The free of charge is that I can live in a country which has such level of freedom that you can really accept different ideas, different religions, doing different jobs. Only because I'm an Italian citizen. But if I was born in Bangladesh or I was born in Burundi, the same items are not granted. Because the children have not any, they are not granted to have a, to go to a, to a, to a prostitute, to the school or to be, to have a guarantee of their own life. So when Baha'u'llah speaks about the citizenship of the planet, means that in any place you were born or you will born, you will be treated in the same way with justice. And we cannot do it if we not accept the idea that mankind is one, the religion is one, and God is only one. So now we have to jump, just to come to a conclusion. So we have two pillars. The first pillar is the process we have seen today with this step, in which we cannot, as individuals, we cannot do anything. This is a process due to the evolution of humankind, and it goes by itself. And here we have the dome of unity of mankind. We are here now, and the vibrations, any crisis is an opportunity. We are living in a transition period from the national level idea to the international level ideas, globalization. This is an opportunity. We can get it or we cannot get it. This is depending on the people of the planet. But this is part of the universe. Evolution is part of the universe. We can jump at the beginning of the process, and we will need another 1,000,000 years, and we will reach the same point as today. And for the second time, we can go back. If we something will be destroyed, this planet will go back to the beginning, and we'll start from individual to community to tribe to villages to city to empire up to today. It will take another 1,000,000 years. So we are now in this transition time where we have to decide what to do. And on the other side, we have 6 billion people here. How do we connect these two processes? How do we explain to these 6 billion people that if they reach such a point as a citizen of the planet, they will help the unity of mankind to have the earth as but one country? How do we do it? Through knowledge. Explaining each one of them the process and what is the contribution of these 6 billion one by one to the unity of mankind. So this is knowledge coming through education. So education is the main resource that we have today to change the national mentality of the people and trying to push them to the mentality of to become a worldwide citizen. Where are we now in the process? We are at the end of the national level. We are really reaching the end. We started in the 1700 with the concept of nation. This was the time of nation. This was the time of dependent nation from another nation. This is the time where we had independent nations. And this is the time where we have sovereign nation of this 85% of the countries of the world. And this is why we have these vibrations. The vibrations are helping the society in accepting the idea that slowly, slowly, we have to jump to the new level, which will bring humanity to become a united, And this is what Baha'u'llah is saying, that I have come to this planet to bring principles, ideas, and helps for this new level of society, which is unity of the world. And he gives us 3 ideas. The first one is us. The first one is a world legislature, so a body who legislates for the whole country. Then he says we need a world government, and then he says we need a world court, and we will need a world education. This is what we call it, the world order of Baha'u'llah, giving the idea to the people that they have to jump from a national level, from their religious level, from their knowledge level, from their education level, based on a national idea to the international idea, which is the earth is but one country and mankind its citizen. Now, if you have questions, I will be happy to answer. I want to give you my website. You can download many of the things I've said today. I have a website in English, www.beppe.robiati.it. You can download some of the ideas of Baha'u'llah I put in writings.
Thank you very much, Giuseppe Robiati, for this very, very interesting account. In opening up the discussion, I just want to raise one point, and that is, it's very interesting to see a set of principles and beliefs which calls itself, if I understand correctly, a faith, growing out of an understanding of human history and human society. I think many of us would accept that there's an extent to which most world religions are so determined to emphasize their transcendence that they see God as speaking outside of time, outside of space, outside of human history. Whereas in the Baha'i vision, which we've heard tonight, the whole idea of God is actually based on a particular understanding of how human beings evolve in society through millions of years. So it's a very, how do I put it to you, a very naturalistic approach to religion.
Just to make some comments, you know, religions is a word coming from Latin. This is religere. Religere means to link, to connect. So generally thinking, in the Baha'i idea, this connection has two directions. The first one is between the creator and his God. So it's a personal link. Nobody has the right to enter. In the Baha'i faith, we don't have clergy, we don't have priests, because the relation with God, the link with God is independent, is personal. So each one has its own through the vision of Baha'u'llah. Then we have the second connection between people. So religion should be useful in society to bring peace and to bring unity. This is why the Baha'i faith is is involving itself in daily life practices, daily life vision. And the vision is if we want to have a planetarian peace, we have to bring religion inside, but not the type of religion we have, for example, today, which is mainly a formal religion, where the people are part of a religion because they are coming from a certain family who was religion in that way. I just make an example. If the professor would be were born in Saudi Arabia from two mother and father Arabs, he would be Muslim, I'm sure. I was born in Italy from a father and a mother who was Catholic. I was born as a Catholic. So Baha'u'llah says this is not a way to find a religion. You have to search it. The first main principle in the Baha'i faith is independent research of the truth. You have to research the truth by yourself. And at the age of maturity, you will be ready to choose the religion you have studied. Not because you were born in a country, you have accepted that religion, because you have done it by yourself. So this is what we Baha'is, a Baha'i who is born in a Baha'i family is not a Baha'i. He can become a Baha'i at the age of maturity. This is the way that we generally live, trying to involve the people in such a vision. We generally do not like to, there is a principle in Baha'i faith that we don't convince the people, so there is not any, how do you call it in, come si dice la? Yeah, we don't make proselytism in the sense that, you know, the faith is something which is inner, it's your own. I don't want to interfere. But if someone is asking, like we have done today in the conference, which is the main vision of the Baha'i, we generally do it. Yes?
I don't know. Your purpose, now, did you say that the relation between is directly between you, between the people, the person and the God? And this relation is strictly between the God and the person. But the purpose of that you show us is to change all the society, all the mentality of all the people, that I think that can be a problem.
Yeah, it's a self-education. You are not. We generally, we cannot change anybody else than ourselves. So even in a couple, if you get married, don't try to change your wife, because you will never do it, or vice versa. We are on this planet to change ourselves and to transform ourselves. When I was saying this is God, this is man, this link is personal. No one can enter. You can give some, let's say, examples or some personal ideas. What is important, we have 6 billion and 200 million individuals. So we have 6 billion links between God. Each one has its own. But this horizontal link is very important, because this is the one that we have on a daily basis. We live in a society with so many people around. We live in a society with people who have problems. We live in a society where people do not love each other. We live in a society where the color of the skin creates problem. We live in a society where the name of your religion creates problem. We live in a society where the people from the south are not loved by the people from the north. We live in a society full of prejudices. So what we generally say as a Baha'is, we have to understand that these 6 billion are part of the same race, which is the human species. These are flowers. You are a black flower, I'm a white flower. I have a son living in Namibia. He married with a Namibian. She's so black that when we make pictures, we say, please laugh, because we want to know where you are. So, but there is a strong prejudice. When they come to Italy, there is a strong prejudice against the black. In America, in South America, there is a big prejudice against the women. So we are entering in a society through education. We have to transform ourselves in flowers, not taking care of the secondary aspects of life. Secondary aspects of life is the color of the skin, is the sex, is the country from the way you come. So this is the way that we have to change society. And of course, this is helping, because if we are taking religions, we have the Buddhist, we have the Hindus, we have the Jewish, we have the Christians, we have the Muslims, same race. It's the same race. There is no prejudice against the race. It's not the same. If I go to, I came to Malta today. I spent all my morning on the seaside. Fantastic. Why? Because I don't think that the sun we have in Italy is different from the sun in Malta. It's the same. So with God, it's not the same. In any place you go, God, each one of us said, my God is better than yours. So this is a matter of knowledge. This is a matter of education. This is a matter of self-education. Baha'u'llah says that man is essentially a spiritual human being. And he is considered as a mine of gems of inestimable values. So we are mine of gems of inestimable values. What are these gems? We have 3 main gems altogether. So, you know, we are mine of gems of inestimable value. So we have hundreds of gems inside ourselves. Someone is courageous, sometimes is generous, someone is humble, someone is loves more than others. We have 3 of these gems, 3. So if this is the mine with all these gems, 3 are in common in 6 billion inhabitants. So each inhabitant of this planet has gems, but 3 gems are in common. What are the 3 gems we have in common? Why do we have these 3 gems in common? Because this is the purpose of life, to take these 3 gems out and to share with the rest. Which are the 3 gems? First, nobody of you, nobody of us can live without love and without being loved, because love is a water of life. So nobody can live without love and without being loved. And this is the first gem we have everywhere you go. You see people like to be loved and like to love. And when you love each other, So the first one is love, the first gem. Then we have the second. When you love someone, what do you want to do? You want to do something for the one you love, free of charge, to make her or to make him happy. This is what we call service. You want to do something free of charge to make her or him happy. Because this is the way that the people put love in practical ways. And when you love and serve, the third one is the third gem is unity. The hearts comes together and the people live together in peaceful. So these three gems are spiritual gems. So the purpose of life is to develop these three main gems over the others and to put them at the service of mankind. And if we do it, we give a strong push to these 6 billion people to become citizens of the world. So you see how a faith is entering on a practical life to transform the people on national level, from national religion, from national ideas, to become part of a unity of mankind. One God, one mankind, one race. I don't want to go on because I think you are tired. Yes, please.
What you say regard a world government, one world government, that subtracts like the amount of people that actually have power over the whole world. And another thing I found that you didn't mention in the vibrations was money. And this is only born out of the early Americas, the dollar or whatever. In regard, that's a control mechanism of the world and the G7. But say if this is a perfect solution, if it turns out this way, but what if this one world government actually turns out, as we've seen in the world, there's a lot of corruption, as you see in Palestine and all over the world. So what if this world government enters a stage of corruption? The whole world becomes in a state of turmoil, you know, and becomes one source, and greed evolves to a major height, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so the two links of the vibration was just that money itself is like one of the biggest vibrations that has. I think the step that needs to be taken is that money needs to be taken out of the system in order for us to step into the new stage. And I don't know whether one world together, like we've all the resources, we've evolved so far that we have, technology to basically send a message 2 seconds to the other side of the world. I think that like we've evolved now because of capitalism to get to this stage, and it's a major source. But I don't think money is the way forward in that, because that's a control mechanism, and one government that can be easily corrupted by all these sources that we've seen today as goes on is the major obstacle that we need to jump over, whatever you need to put it. But I think that this is the perfect solution, but we're not living in perfect minds around us. There's a lot of corruption,
yeah.
So
sure.
It's how do you evolve in the perfect way and not be corrupt?
Yeah. You remember the two columns I was doing? This is the process of evolution, and this is the problem of 6 billion of the people. So you see, this is what I put there, the idea of Baha'u'llah to have a world government and all this scheme. This is the end of the process. We are at the beginning of the process. We cannot reach such a level if we have 6 billion people in such a condition as today. So that does not mean that we will destroy nations. We will have to, it's a process, it's a very slow process. It will take generations. Because we cannot have a golden world with copper people. These two processes are working together, and difficulties and vibrations are helping the people to have a new vision. So the problem is to have the right vision. To reach the point, I've said, one God, one people, one religion, it takes maybe 400, 300 years. Because this is going through education. Baha'u'llah says that at the end of the process, we will have this organization, But we're not an organization imposed by some of the countries. We'll be an organization that will come softly as the decision of the people of the world. So for us today, it's very difficult to understand what is a world government. I'm coming from Italy, and I was born, when I was 15 years old, and in the 50s, someone was speaking about European Union. It was very difficult in those days to understand what the European Union could be. I remember to go to France, I had to change my money, I had to change, to have a visa on the passport, I had to find a solution for the cost of living. But after 50 years that we are in the process, I can go in 27 countries without showing the passport, without changing my value. So you see, we generally have difficulties in understanding how the situations are moving from one level to another. But there is not any other solution. This planet cannot live in a condition it is living today, with nations, with difficulties between them. Let us see the financial crisis we had a couple of years ago. The financial crisis was due to the fact that we don't have regulation, worldwide regulation, how to move money from one country to another, because there is not anyone. Sarkozy and Angela Merkel put in the G24 in Birmingham, one of the points of the agenda was to discuss regulations, common regulations, to move money from one country to another. It was deleted, because some of the countries do not agree about that. So maybe it will take another 10 years to have new regulations how to manage and how to move big quantity of money from one country to another, because this is the money who are creating speculations and financial crisis. We don't have it. But it's obvious that slowly, slowly, we are moving on that level that at a certain moment we will be obliged to take decision how to move capitals, how to move great quantity of money from one country to another. We have a fiscal, fiscal havens. Fiscal havens are countries where the money is free to be moved without any regulations. So if I'm coming from a mafia and I have $50 billion, I can move it to the Seychelles or to Panama or to Liechtenstein. Nobody will ask me where this money is coming from. So this is the money that is creating problems all around the planet. And nobody today has any regulation. But the time will come when all, and you know how many fiscal havens we have? 144 countries are moving the money without asking from the money where it's coming from. From illegal activities, from mafia, from prostitution, from drugs. So the problem is that slowly, slowly, we will become conscious how the thing should be organized. So what Baha'u'llah has said in the last century, he gave us a vision how this planet will move on. Of course, he didn't go into details. He left the details to the population of this planet to be organized. But he gave us an idea. The idea is that the solution of this planet is to become united. To become united, we have to take away all our prejudices about religion, all our prejudices about color of skin, all our prejudices about different level of maturity and economy of the people. This is the vision. How to reach there? He said that you will pass through difficulties. You will pass through crisis, because the crisis is an opportunity to be taken, to grow up from one level to another. So this is the vision he has given us. Of course, we will have difficult time in the future. We will, in 1912, we will have another financial crisis. Will be a big one, because this is the 10 year when the junk bonds have been issued in 2002, and the end. I mean, it's a technical discussion. I don't want to go in. So we will have many crises in the future, and we don't have any one of the nations who will be able to take the power to solve the problems. The problem will be solved putting the countries together and to jump from the national level to the continental level, from the continental level to the worldwide level. I was speaking about the European Union. This is not the only case. We have, for example, in North, Central, and South America, three main markets which are growing up. The first one is the NAFTA between Mexico, Canada, and US. Then we have the Pacto Andino, the Andean Pact, which is it's like an European Union between all the countries between the along the Andes. Then we had Mercosur. Mercosur is the market, the open market between all the countries of South America. Now there is an agreement to put together the NAFTA, the Pacto Andean Pact, and the Mercosur to have a common market from Alaska to Argentina on this side of the world. On the other side, we have the ASEAN. ASEAN is the association of the Southeast countries. Then we have the APEC, Association of Pacific Market, Common Market. So all these markets are coming together to try to solve problems between them. Then we have, for example, many of the people living in the Mediterranean, they do not know that in August 2 years ago, a new market came on. This is the market of the Mediterranean, where all the countries of North Africa, including Israel, Libya, Algeria, Egypt, Italy, France, they signed a common market in order to solve the problems between the countries along the Mediterranean. We have another market in Africa. This is the African Common Market, which had all the countries without the Muslim countries just to talk together. So you see how the world is working. It's working in the same direction. Slowly, slowly, to put few nations, few markets together in order to put the people in touch one with the other and take away all the prejudices. And without the prejudices, we will find a better society than today. If you want to develop and to study the idea of the world government, the world legislature, the common markets, you can download from my website. There is an article about this organization of the future. It's in English. You can download it. You can also, there is my email in the website. You can write me and we can continue the discussion on email. It will be very acceptable, and it will be very nice. Will be happy to be in touch with you if you want to write me on email. So, okay, I think that we come to an end. I do not know how it's working here. I can still. I have my flight tomorrow morning at 9. So, yeah, please. Okay, I'm happy.
I'll just ask one more here. I think we all understand the process you have in mind, but the last question I thought did raise problem, namely that on the surface it would seem that the three gems you mention, love, service, and unity, are not compatible with capitalism as we know it. I mean, I think that's what the last speaker was suggesting. Now you have indicated that there are mechanisms and ways whereby a capitalist national economy becomes a capitalist world economy. There are mechanisms whereby markets are got together, but at the same time, you know, as an economist, that there are certain basic principles of capitalism which are taught in all economics courses in Western universities. And the whole notion of reason or rational choice in Western economics is the idea that you divide your energies carefully, you allocate your time, your money, and third, your resources. Your time, your money, your resources. You allocate these things carefully in order to maximize your individual material advantage. So when I look at this emphasis, which, by the way, is a main theme in contemporary philosophy, when I look at your emphasis on love, on altruism, on service, I'm not sure to what extent that really is compatible with the underlying ideology of capitalism as it is taught in Western universities. Now, perhaps you're also a business executive as well as a speaker on Baha'i philosophy, and perhaps you'd
you are totally right. What I didn't say that up to the fall of the Berlin Wall, we had two economic systems of this planet. One was the communist, and one was the capitalist. This has been taken away. So the only one we have is this one. And this is not compatible with this one. Absolutely impossible. We need a third way, which is in the middle of these two. And this is what Baha'u'llah is speaking in his writings. And this is, we should have another afternoon, maybe next time, talking about the third way that Baha'u'llah is suggesting for the world economy. And it's very interesting because he's not a communist, he's not a capitalist, but he put some items which cannot be will be out of our comprehension today. So just to give you an example, one of the ideas is that the resources that we have under the lands of our countries, Baha'u'llah says, are not property of the government of those countries. This is just to give you an idea. Another one is that Baha'u'llah is proposing a worldwide currency to take away the speculations with the currencies. The third one, Baha'u'llah is providing a new system of how to manage the country. And of course, I don't have enough time, but there is a third way between the communist way to manage a country and the capitalist way to manage a country. Baha'u'llah is giving a third way. It's totally independent and totally new to that. And this is will be compatible with the three main system, the three main gems.
Thank you very much, Giuseppe Robbiati. It's certainly been very interesting to have this account from you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your spend this afternoon with us. Thank you so much, Professor.
You have just listened to a talk in the Work in Progress seminar series entitled The Approaches to Ethics and Business Management in an Increasingly Global Economic Order. This talk was delivered by Mr. Giuseppe Robbiati.